This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Really miss you till you dead or you gone. So on that note, I'm leaving after the song. So you ain't gotta feel no way about Jay so long. But at least let me tell you why I'm this way. Hold on. I was conceived by Gloria Carter and Agnes Reeves, who made love under the sycamore tree, which makes me a more sicker MC. And my mama would claim at 10 pounds when I was born, I didn't give her no pain. I flowed through the years, I gave her her fish, yeah. I gave her a first real scare. I made it for birth when I got here. She knows my purpose wasn't purpose. I ain't perfect, I kid. But I feel worthless cause my shirts wasn't matching my gear. Now I'm just scratching the surface cause what's buried under there was a kid torn apart once his pop disappeared. I went to school, got good grades, could behave when I wanted. But I had demons deep inside that were raised when confronted. Hold on.
I felt the rush like a rolling ball of thunder, spinning my head around and taking my body under.
Now all the teachers couldn't reach me and my mama couldn't beat me hard enough to match the pain of my pop not seeing me. So with that disdain in my membrane, got on my pimp game, fuck the world, my defense came. Then the Haven introduced me to the game. Spanish Jose introduced me to Kane. I'm a hustler now, my gear is in and I'm in the in crowd. And all the wavy light skinned girls are loving me now. My self esteem went through the roof, man, I got my swag. Got a vocal from this girl when the man got back. Plus I hit my mama with cash from a show that I had. Supposedly knowing nobody paid jazz, whack ass. I'm getting ahead of myself by the way I can rap. But that came second to me moving his crack. Give me a second, I swear, I would say about my rap career. To 96 came, I'm here, goodbye.
I felt the rush like a rolling ball of thunder, spinning my head around and taking my body under.
The adrenaline rush, your blood boils, you in a spot knowing cops can rush, and you in a drop, you so easy to touch, no 2 days are alike, except the first and 15 pretty much, and trust, there's a word you seldom hear from us, hustlers, we don't sleep, we rest one eye up, and the drop in the find a man, when the well dries up, you learn the worth of water, without work you thirst, you die, yep, and niggas get tired of a product, the little brothers, ring fingers get cut up, to show mothers, they really got them, and this is the stress I live with, till I decided to try this rap, for a living, I pray I'm forgiven, for every bad decision I've made, every sister I played. Cause I'm still paranoid to this day, and it's nobody fault. I made the decisions I made. This is the life I chose, or rather the life that chose me. If you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Maybe you love me when I fade to black. If you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Maybe you love me when I fade to black. If you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Maybe you love me when I fade to black. If you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Maybe you love me when I fade to black. You can't respect
you love me when I fade to black. If you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Maybe you love me when I fade to black. If you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Maybe you love me when I fade to black. If you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Maybe you love me when I fade to black.
You guys, welcome to an all-new episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your pal Ryan. This is an entirely new week. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I feel like I've been going nonstop. So today we're going to do it a little bit differently in that we're not starting with a Sophie Ross pop culture roundup. I need something to cheer me up, right? I think this is going to cheer you up too, because we got two of the funniest, most talented people of all time. I mean, in any genre, not even just podcasting, just of any type of artistic endeavor, these are two of the best people that you can have on your show. And I'm, of course, talking about Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. No. It's Watch What Crappens, Ronnie Caram and Ben Mandelker. If Mount Rushmore was only two faces, these would be the two. I mean, these guys, I've had a long history with them. And they are so kind and generous to me, so encouraging, and it is always such an honor to have them on my show. But what's kind of cool, though, is after I get over my initial nerves, it's always just fun to talk with them because it's hard to explain. It's like when you are with your pals and you've had a couple beers and you just start being really silly and you're making each other laugh and stuff, and that's what these guys are. And they feel like they're your best friends. And I told them that. I was like, this is why you guys are so insanely popular. First off, you're talented, but everybody feels like you're their friends. And I know they feel like they feel the same way about you guys. They've built this up over like 11 years now. I don't think I've had 11 years in me. I mean, this is the last week. I mean, to be honest with you, this is the last week. So we actually did this interview last Wednesday. But this goes into Beverly Hills, Atlanta, Southern Charm. We get into the Great British Bake Off. I just wanted to talk to them forever. But know what's so cool is that you can listen to them forever because they have programming like 8 billion days a week. If you go to watchwhatcrappens.com, you can sign up for their Patreon there. They do Patreon, like they do the Crappens On Demand, where you can also see them because the faces they make are just as good as the voices they make. You know what? It just annoys me. I got to tell you this, right? It annoys me they're that talented. Yeah, I'll say it. I'll be the one to finally say it. They are so damn talented that it annoys me. I just sat there this whole interview with a huge sneer on my face. And at one point, I flipped off Ronnie Caram. I did. He go, why are you doing? I was like, I'm just really angry at you, Ronnie. Ben's still cool with me, but Ronnie, we have a podcasting war now. No, they were so amazing. And I just want to hug them. They're just great. Okay, you guys know that. You know, it's so funny. You guys already know all of this. So we're going to get to that interview. I just want to do a couple of stories. And don't worry, the Pop Culture Roundup is going to come to you on Tuesday this week. I always like to start with a week off with it, but I was like, you know what? Let's just do this. This I've been wanting to get out since I did it on Wednesday. And we had Southern Charm and Beverly Hills recaps. And then, of course, we had the Kardashians over on Patreon. You guys, thank you so much for all the Patreon signups. Keep signing up. It keeps the lights on. And I am busting my ass over there. Meditza is making some of the best graphics for all of these shows as well. And Sandra's kicking ass with booking. We've got some really cool bookings coming up. BravoCon, of course, now is less than 2 weeks away. Please let us know if you're going to be at BravoCon. We are in final stages for a potential Patreon meetup, or like, I don't know, like a wave or a, I don't know. So we're going to do something. Also, this past weekend, I was on Andy's Girls with Sarah Galley, who I love, and I'll get to meet her for the first time in New York as well. But we had a great conversation, and in fact, she made me reenact the Bethany Life is Not a Cabaret monologue that she screened at Luann, because we were talking about psychotic breaks and how Kathy Hilton, according to Rinna, had a psychotic break. And we were like, you know, people in New York actually had psychotic breaks, and they were brave enough to put it on film. The only, you know, I don't care. Like, I almost believe that Kathy Hilton. Oh my God, you guys, I just realized I did not even have my microphone plugged in that whole time. That's how fun. That's Lisa Rinna, dude. That's Lisa Rinna at work. She's the ghost in the machine. She's trying to screw me up, but I think it sounded okay. So I'm going to leave it in because it's just, it's always fun to hear a grown man on his, you know, his last legs. So Kathy Hilton supposedly had a psychotic break, but then we were talking about the fact that, you know, people on Roni had psychotic breaks on camera. I mean, Lisa Rinna, you could argue, had psychotic breaks on camera this season. I don't doubt Kathy Hilton had some sort of psychotic break, if that's the word we want to keep using, because it's in vogue. The only problem I have with any of this is that it's not on camera. Like, I don't know. And it's like, poor Lisa, it really is just becoming sadder and sadder. I'm like, what? Okay, Lisa, how do you want this to end? Just let us know, because I'll just go ahead and just give you the reaction you want, because it's, that would be less painful than watching you post your Instagram stories on an hourly basis about something. So this weekend, we're just going to do a couple quick stories before Ronnie and Ben, and like I said, Pop Culture Roundup on Tuesday, and we'll get into all of this and all the other pop culture stories, because it turned, man, also, what's going on with fashion? Like, all of a sudden, like, am I supposed to give a shit? Like, I don't, I know you guys give a shit, but I'm just, like, Kanye's dancing around in mud at the Balenciaga show, and I'm like, oh my God, my parents used to tell me to like stay away from mud, and he's walking around, he's also walking around with a jacket with like 80 billion pockets in it. Like, I could literally put all of my podcasting equipment in then, and it says security on it. Like, how far are we gonna, like, do we all have to like just look around and go, oh yeah, that's fashion, man, okay. And how big are we gonna get with the sunglasses? At a certain point, let's just put a big visor over our entire face and call it a day. Because I get it. Like, is there a race to get the biggest sunglasses ever? And you can't even, where can you even store these? Oh, let me just take these off, and then it takes up the entire table that you're eating at. Like, it's ridiculous. So Lisa Rinna, in her Lisa Rinna fashion, and by the way, she keeps using that picture from this last week's episode where she was like, you know, Kirsten, you're not going to get away with it. You're not. And she had that smile, that shit-eating grin. And for Lisa Rinna, it truly is a shit-eating grin, because we do believe she eats shit. But she keeps posting this same damn photo. And I think it's so weird, because this photo is one we keep making fun of her for. But I have a feeling she thinks she looks hot and righteous, like a female Jesus or something. And she goes, I see you. I know you really are. No amount, wait, I know who you really are. No amount of money can hide that. Your belief system is not my belief system. You've spent a lot of time and money and effort trying to silence me, make me the bad guy. But guess what, honey? I'm like a cockroach. You know it's bad when you compare yourself to a cockroach. I'm a dirty rat with rabies. But I'm like a cockroach, and you can never get rid of me. Seriously, this sounds like a love letter to Harry Hamlin. I'm always going to talk about it. The truth always comes out. Always. Like, does Instagram, like, I know we're not supposed to, like, they let us post a lot of weird shit, but are you allowed to straight up threaten people on Instagram? Like, this is getting awkward for all of us, because the season's almost over, and I have a feeling like 3 months from now we're going to have forgotten about Beverly Hills, and Lisa's going to post some shit-eating grin and go, like, I didn't forget about you, Kathy. I don't have the same beliefs. And what if, like, the belief system that you do? Like, what? What are you talking about, the belief system? That's the other thing. If you have some sort of pseudo belief system that makes you an amazing person, why don't you show a little bit of it on the actual show? Because right now, your belief system makes you come off like a gigantic breathing asshole. I don't understand what she's talking about. Like, seriously, she's lost it. She's lost it. Like, this, I mean, can somebody, is anybody at home going, damn, that woman knows how to use social media. Whew, that's good PR. Like, this is so weird to me. Also on Southern Charm, we had the season finale this past week, and I can't wait to do the recap for you later this week. But it was really sad, because Shep did this thing where you thought, like, I think Taylor thought he was going to ask her to marry him. Then he just asked her to quit his job. And he said this, he goes, we're going to put $30,000 into an account, and we're just going to travel till that runs out. And I think his big romantic gesture was that he was going to give her like the, like the password to the account or something. Like that was like, I'm going to let you take out $40 a day and you can spend it however you want. Like this girl had a career as an actual nurse. Like that's a real career. Like you probably asked Shep to sew up anybody, you would not know what the fuck he was doing. But I mean, I hate to ever agree with Austin, but so he does this and you can tell she's like weird. But then it's so sad at the end, she does it. But we only get this in postscript. They're like, they did. They traveled the whole world. Taylor did quit her job. 3 months later, they broke up. Like, and then you see the preview for the reunion where she's like, Shep slept with 300 whores. I'm just the whore that stayed. And you're just like, holy crap. And then I hate to, like, Bravo is literally the network of like where you say, oh man, I hate that I agree with this person. There's not a person on Bravo that I'm like, oh man, I'm so happy I agree with this person. Because then Madison says, yeah, a Bible beater and an atheist. It's not going to work. And I hate to say Madison makes a lot of sense, but yeah. Do you know those things where we know right off the bat that things aren't going to work and then people stay around for 12 more years? Like that's, I feel like that's another big thing that Bravo likes to do is just not exploit, because I really enjoy the exploitation, but they really try to highlight people's huge mistakes. And it almost makes us feel better as an audience because we know that they're wrong. Like we know that it's wrong. Like we're like, okay, we don't know when they're going to break up, but we know eventually they're going to break up. Like you can see it, you can sense it. We could say a bunch of people right now. I'm not going to, just in case I meet them at BravoCon. I don't know, I don't want to offend them, but we already know the people that aren't going to make it. Like we already know. And we're going to act surprised. We're going to make memes like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. But we already know. And then on top of everything else, in the Southern Charm finale, Craig throws a dinner party for Sewing Down South because it turns out pillows are a very lucrative business. But I will say allegedly, I just say allegedly anytime I think I'm about to say something mean. Allegedly, I hear they ship cocaine through these pillows. They just jam them in and they send them across state line. But it is shocking how much money they seem to be making from these pillows. But then Leva, I didn't understand this one either. Leva, thank God she got out of the kitchen. Literally all of Leva's scenes this season has been with her child, like her little four-year-old. And like every time she's teaching the child to make something in the kitchen. And my big prediction was at the end on the season finale, we were going to see this kid bake a souffle and like do it all by himself. No, the kid's not there. Leva actually gets out of the house, goes to Craig's little party for Sewing Down South for the holidays. And then she kind of like talks shit about Craig, which is kind of annoying. But then Craig, in his like, I'm a boss. Nobody tells me what to do. Never again. I'll never have a Naomi in my life again. He literally tells Leva, you can get out or security will take you out. And it was just so extreme and so bizarre. But I kind of like, that's how you sum up the whole season of Southern Charm for me. It felt like this kind of lucid dream where you wake up and you remember parts of the dream and you're like, okay, that part of the dream made sense and it was cool. But then that other part of the dream where I had the unicorn horn on me and I started galloping, that makes no sense at all. That's what this season of Southern Charm is. There was like 30 different parts. Three of them actually fit together and were interesting. And then you kind of like really started to enjoy the mess. And then you thought they were leading actually up to something and it turns out they weren't, but you still kind of still like to watch the mess. I don't know. Like it's one of the things I ask for forgiveness for from my God every night. Like, so sorry. I think I really like this show still. Also, the reunion looks great. You always know it's great when Andy's like, Craig, why don't you wear underwear? Let's see. So you got Rinna doing her normal Rinna thing. Oh, this is the last episode of Beverly Hills before the reunions. So that means the reunions are going to be, wow, it's going to be during BravoCon. Also, Kyle and the Halloween movies. Do we care anymore? I saw the preview for the new Halloween movie. They didn't even put Kyle in it. Which kind of proves once again my theory that I said this week, that Kyle just doesn't want to film with Lisa and her sister sometimes, and she just says she's going to film a sequel to Halloween. I think that's code for like nose work or like face work, like mommy's going to film for another couple of months of Halloween. Because these movies, she really does make it seem like the Titanic, like these are like year-long productions, and then they seem like they come out every 4 months on Peacock. So I'm very excited to see the movie. That actually premieres, not this Friday, but next Friday. Also, Very disappointed in this story. I'll tell you more about this next week. But the movie Bros, which I told you to go see, you guys. I told you last week on the Pop Culture Roundup, we need to support this movie. And guess what? It turns out no one listens to my podcast because this movie had a very poor showing at the box office. It only made $4.5 million. Now, for those of you that do not follow box office reports like me because I'm a nerd, that's not great because it got a wide release, which means it was shown on a vast amount of movie screens, right? Now, this movie Smile, which is a horror film, I think produced by Blumhouse, and the big thing is people like give creepy smiles, which is like, I'm like, I could be in that movie. But it's like that made $19.5 million, had no stars in it. That made $19.5 million. But a romantic comedy that got amazing reviews, produced by Judd Apatow, directed by the guy who did Forgetting Sarah Marshall. The previews looked funny. Like, I'm not a gay dude, but it still looked funny to me. That made $4.5 million. Are we that scared about watching two men fall in love? But I was really trying to think about this because then Billy Eichner tweeted out today of like, well, he was tweeting out, and I think he was being like tongue-in-cheek, but like, you know, well, I guess, the straight people didn't show up for us. And I think that was an easy joke, but you forget sometimes the reality that still people, they find homosexuality a weird thing. And I'm like, man, that is so wild to even have that concept in your head when I think of it as so normal and natural and something that, like, listen, I don't personally, like, I don't personally practice it, but I celebrate all my friends that do. And it looked like a funny fucking movie. And I just hope that it is one of those things that kind of catches on by word of mouth and it makes its money back on streaming or however you make your money these days. But then I was like, okay, is Billy Eichner a good romantic lead? Is that maybe why? If they had put, I'm trying to think, like if they put Daniel Craig and Billy Eichner's part, is that going to be a huge movie? Or do people truly have a real hang up about a gay romantic comedy? These are questions that I really think about. I thought about that so much this weekend. And it matters to me because first off, I want anything that's funny to do good. Second off, if you have representation of a group that has sometimes been poorly misrepresented, that is so important. It's like Lisa Rinna. She's been represented enough on Beverly Hills, right? We don't need her to do good. But what I do need is, like, I want to hear a little bit more of Sutton's perspective. I want to hear a little more of Crystal's perspective. I want to hear a little more of Garcelle's perspective. Do you know what I'm saying? We need to make room for other voices, and that way we can appreciate the genre at large. And that's why I'm disappointed about that. Now, you're saying, Ryan, okay, why didn't you go see it? Well, thank you for asking. Because I'm homophobic. No, I couldn't do it because, my folks, it was dragging my folks around. It's been an insane weekend, but I am going to go see it this week. I promise you. And I'm looking forward to it. So I just thought that was an interesting story because I think we do need to pay attention to what we consume as consumers and trying to get the best product and trying to open doors for the best people and the most creative people. I'm sure you guys have your own opinion on this, which I would be fascinated to hear. Go over and join the Patreon, actually, because we do get to have conversations like this, and we'll be doing another live Patreon very soon. And you can still submit your question and Q&A for the Q&A episode that's coming up soon. Also, reminder, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City premiered this past week. I recapped it on the show, and I loved it. I loved it. This is what makes me happy. Who knows, in three episodes from now, we're going to be on that same, like, this is shit. I can't wait till Potomac starts, which, by the way, Potomac starts next Sunday, you guys. So set your calendars now. We'll be very excited for that. But right now, I really enjoyed Salt Lake because A, it's not Beverly Hills. B, Lisa Rinna's not in it. And C, it was classic Housewives. The way they started it with a two-minute cut of them in their 2019 first interviews on a green screen to now was just, it just shows you how much they have changed as people. But then also to have the main focus of it be on Meredith and Lisa and their relationship or lack thereof anymore was such an interesting move because I think we all thought, holy shit, it's going to be another season of Jen Shah. Like, once again, she is going down. And I think it's almost weirdly Housewives hysterical that she once again kind of skips I mean, I genuinely believe if Jen Shah is this good at making the camera not focus on her and her issues, she will eventually escape from prison. It truly will be the Shawshank Redemption. She is like, I just wonder what poster they're going to put up. You know, what was that poster in the movie? It was like Marilyn Monroe. What do you think Jen Shah would put up? Well, it would probably be a poster of herself or something. And then she's just like, with those big talon nails, she's just scraping away at the rocks little by little. And then she has to crawl out through a mile of shit, you know. And then Coach is on the other. Let's go. Anyways, you guys, have a great week. I will talk to you on Tuesday and all of the other days. But I hope you get the most laughs that you possibly can out of this next segment. And remember, if you like this, please leave 5-star ratings on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all of that jazz. But and also remember timestamps. If you didn't want to hear this whole monologue, you can save yourself the next time and just go to the timestamp that tells you when the guest or the recap starts. So without further delay, people that I don't even need to give an introduction for, but I do once the interview starts. Here they are, Watch What Crappens, Ronnie Karam and Ben Mandelker.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a new episode of So Bad It's Good. Today, I always like to have up-and-comers. I feel kind of like it's me, like Johnny Carson, waving somebody over to the couch. And these two kids have... I have the number one group of people that do this that inspire me on a daily basis. I know this is mushy, but I'll just make them hear it. A quick story. I first heard of Watch What Crappens because my friend Molly McAleer invited me. She was a guest at a hotel. They were doing like a podcast fest and she invited me and it was like 70 people in a room and it was packed. And I was like, 70 people? These guys are like Springsteen. They were doing voices and Molly was great and all of this. I'd never seen anything like it. I had never really even known. Molly was like my first entrance into any of this stuff. And I was like, wow, how does it get bigger than this? And then they have now just celebrated their 10th anniversary Hunky Dory tour, sold out everywhere. I mean, I've been to their crappy awards where I thought there was going to be a breakdown where people were going to be wrestling. They were so excited. I thought chairs are going to get lifted up and thrown, but they constantly recap the most amazing shows that we love, and they are the most amazing, funny people. I got to fill in for Ben a couple months ago because he was sick, unfortunately, but it was truly one of the best moments doing what I do to be able to do that. But Ronnie Karam, Ben Mandelker, Watch What Crappens, welcome back to the show.
Oh, wow. Ryan, thank you, Ryan. So much. You always have such good intros. Wow.
And that's where it ends. Like, that's the best part. Like, you can stop the show right here.
That's the only reason I come.
I was gonna say, you're also so generous. That show, we definitely did not have 70 people. I think we had 22 people max.
Yeah,
it was, but in my head it was like in my head it was a gladiator scene. I was like, how, this is huge.
And then they tucked us in the back. It was some podcast festival, like a what it was, but they had everyone in these rooms that were like all around these big rooms, and they put us in this like back room. You had to walk across like a bridge over an atrium to get to this little thing in the corner. And they were like, yeah, the Bravo podcast can go back.
We
there.
Felt like that too, because that was the first like thing that we had ever done like that, you know.
Yeah,
and we showed up like that too. We were like, oh my god, like they had a pre-party and we came and we were all dressed up and we were like sipping our drinks like, oh my god, it's the Doughboys.
No, I remember it was like at a fancy, what was like the fancy the hotel Sofitel. By the Beverly. Yeah, Sofitel. And I remember getting a drink with Molly and it was like a $16 drink. And I was like, wow, I'm at a place with $16 drinks. This is incredible. And look at us all now. We also, like you guys, watchwhatcrappens.com.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I had tiny bottles in my pocket that day. I had like four of the airline bottles of vodka in my pocket that day. I remember. And I was ordering club soda from the bar and pouring my tiny vodka bottles in there.
And actually, $16. A lady came to that show from Arizona. She drove from Arizona and she gave us like prickly pear preserves or jam or something like that. We're like, wow, I can't believe anyone would do that for us. We're like, wow.
I forgot to mention this earlier, but it'll be in the show notes. You guys already know. Watchwhatcrappens.com. Remember the Patreon. You can actually watch all of these shows live, like on demand. You get 2 million monthly followers, probably more at this point, which is kind of, if you think about it, like two sets of those Erica Jane earrings I was thinking about.
Are you going to go to her estate sale?
You know what, Ben, that's a great question. But after you've gone to the Girardi Keys estate sale and I purchased so much, like too, like this is how you see that no women actually come into my bedroom. I have, this is from the Girardi, a framed, this is his in his office, that a Girardi Keys. I have an oil painting hanging over my bed. I have the lingerie. I blew my load, as Craig Conover would say, on that estate sale. And at this point, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm good on the Pasadena house sale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing. It's all moldy stuff.
Well, I was going to say, and I've told this to, I mean, I do have two awards with your names on it given to Tom Girardi.
We hear that every time.
Right? Dude, I have no, literally, I'm looking at, I have 40 law trophies that got in a grab bag box for like $60. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so funny is that this guy spent his entire career doing this, and then some jokester like me buys his whole box of awards. Like, it just means nothing because he ended up being a complete creep.
Yeah,
it is. I can't wait. It is a poetic ending for his career. that is like his trophies, like the symbols of his work, winds up in the hand of the podcasters that help take him down.
Okay, so the state of Bravo right now, we're nearing the end of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Southern Charm. Southern Charm will be their final episode this week. I'm not sure when this will air, but it'll have ended and the reunion will have started. And Beverly Hills, I mean, it just feels like it's forever. You guys are also doing the Winter is Crappening. You're doing the new House of Dragon, which is that like the biggest refreshing thing for you guys to be able to do when you talk about Bravo all the time?
It's not that different.
At first, I mean, it's weird because it's not as campy, but then once we get into it, it's the same show. It's just making fun of implants and Botox. You know?
there's a lot of similarities between, like, I don't know, like Lisa Rinna and like a fire breathing dragon. So, I mean, it's not a crazy leap for us to
like
go there.
It's going
to
be the next queen, you know, that's a lot. And it's like,
oh yeah, the crown is heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. The crown is heavy, darlings. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if everything got blamed on Lisa Vanderpump in the end.
Honestly. Yeah. Like all the Targaryen, the plight of the Targaryens is because of Lisa Vanderpump. Like she like leaked the Targaryens battle plan to Radar Online. Yeah. And they're like, oh, we would have won, but Lisa Vanderpump leaked it to Radar Online. The scroll version.
I know we're laughing right now, folks, but we do want to talk about a serious topic too, is that of, you know, something that afflicts a lot of us is PTSD. It's such a serious, serious illness. And Lisa Rinna caught it. I don't know if it's something you catch or like, you know, monkeypox, but it was a PTSD and Lisa got it from Kathy Hilton. And she let everybody, poor Crystal, she had to pull aside and say, I have to leave because I am so upset. And Lisa Rinna has been on the show for so long. And I just was so shocked that whatever Kathy did in this night that we will never, ever see or hear about, we will just like, it's like a story passed down from generations. I mean, what is your actual opinion on this? I mean, this to me was just a bridge too far.
Well, look, you know, PTSD isn't just from one event, you know, it's accumulation of things. And in this case, I think it probably started with the post-traumatic Stassi syndrome.
Or Stassi syndrome.
I was like, Stassi? Stassi's back?
Let's be honest.
Stassi called the cops on her for something she didn't do, and things just never got better.
Yeah, I think for sure, Lisa, this is just like the crack formed with the bolognese sauce and the ingratitude surrounding that sauce. And then, you know, by the time it got to Kathy Hilton, it just had ripped wide open and there was nothing left for her to do but just to give herself over to it.
But there's like the thing is, like, I know Kathy Hilton's probably not a great person deep down. Like, I know I don't take my cues on how to treat people from these ladies, none of them. And all of these ladies, like, isn't the whole point that all of these ladies have explosions at some point? So Lisa telling me that Kathy has one, I don't not buy it. But then, like, for her to go get PTSD from it, also to go back to the Aspen Lounge and she hulks out, like, she's like stomping and Lisa literally says she has to barricade herself in a room. And you're telling me that she couldn't have any, like, she knows how to work the phone to argue with Bravo Instagram people. You don't think she would hit record and say, listen to this, Erica?
Well, I mean, the thing
makes her. Oh, go ahead, Ben.
Sorry. I was just gonna say that the reason why it's frustrating is that, like, with Lisa Rinna, she's so sanctimonious about, actually not just Lisa, but Lisa and Kyle and Dorit and Erica. They're so sanctimonious about these things, about you have to be open and honest, whatever. So they sort of like parade about this like notion that they are like virtuous people who like care, etc. So you're right. Like, it's not crazy. That, I mean, like, Kathy Hilton is probably a pretty evil person, but she's not pretending to be someone who's open and honest and like good and pure.
Yeah, this is not a nunnery.
They also, this show in particular, all of the Real Housewives are famous for this, but especially this one. They don't know how to read the audience. They don't know how to read the room, right? They never know what the audience is going to think. And they come for these huge people thinking that they're going to win these battles. It's like, you're telling me on TV that Kathy had a breakdown because Kyle's a shithead and called Kyle a bad sister and a user and said that she's going to ruin her life. And I'm supposed to be mad at Kathy. I got a finger with that lady's name on it.
I was like, by the way, I want to see that film just because I would enjoy it. I wouldn't be mad at her. I would be like, yes, amazing. I love this. And also, we've seen Rinna even just three episodes prior, like using a full scream shout, like Rinna Rose at her own house. Harry had to go take a walk. He was so traumatized. And I mean, just fully screaming two episodes in a row.
Fucking end you.
Yeah. Like it was even too much. I love bad acting. I'm a bad actor, and that was even too much for me. And so for Lisa to be scared of whatever Kathy did, that makes me really want to see it because it impresses me.
Yeah, she didn't do anything. She went off on Kyle and called Kyle a user bitch, and I'm for it.
Wait. Yeah, you don't like Kyle, right, Ronnie? Or you?
I've called Kyle since season two. I liked her season one. But after that limo scene with Kim, I saw exactly who Kyle was, and she has just gotten worse. And all the seasons leading up to this one, well, the last couple, I would say, Kyle has done such a good job of pretending to be someone that everybody, that the audience really likes. And so we take a lot of crap from people who are like, you guys, Kyle's like the star of the show. And it's so nice to see that mask slip. You know, it's the closest to Phantom of the Opera she's ever going to get. It's that broken ass mask.
Phantom of the soap opera.
Yeah, she's. I mean, by the way, I almost feel like, I mean, these Halloween movies seem like they're Avatar. They have to shoot for years on these movies. This past week's episode, Kyle's like, got to go back for more shooting. And I'm like, wait a sec, didn't you shoot that? And then I was like, that means more face work usually. Like, I feel like that's the excuse when she gets a nose job or when she's scared to go to something. Michael Myers all of a sudden comes calling. Like, I just don't believe it anymore.
It makes me actually like Kyle because it makes me like her because the normal excuse is, oh, mommy has to go on vacation. But the fact that she's taking it to, oh, mommy has to shoot Halloween as code for get plastic surgery is like actually kind of brilliant, you know. But I agree, and in fact I was like horrified, you know. I feel like we just as a nation, as a country, as a globe, we got through Halloween Kills and we're like, oh well, at least that's done. It's been 2 years of Kyle shooting that and using it as an excuse for bangs and noses and all these things, and now it's done. And then Jamie Lee Curtis pops up. And of course, we should have known because the episode she pops up was also the episode they released the trailer for Halloween Ends. I was like, wait, already? We haven't even had a break from Kills.
It's like a Groundhog Day. Wait, do we know? And I really haven't watched the trailer for the new Halloween because I just assume what I know what it is. Does Kyle's character have the same bangs or does Kyle's character get an update? Like, is there a new, like, because sometimes actors will do that, like, just to prove that they can act, is get a new hairstyle. Does Kyle's character still have the bangs, I wonder? Do you guys know?
I don't know because she did not get bangs to go back on that shoot, right? I mean, I would have noticed. I would have been having nightmares about those fucking bangs. You know?
It would be great if Aspen, that's why she didn't do the conga line. She's like, it'll hurt the bangs. I'm growing them out.
Maybe she'll be wearing a hat from Kimasabi's in the new one.
Oh, I never, by the way, I mean, my mom always says, like, find what brings you joy in life and go towards that. And I just never knew it could be hats. Like, I was like, oh, it can be that simple, like hats. Like, I'm never, like, those hats are like family to Kyle.
Well, that's what Kyle is. That is who Kyle is. She builds her personality around things like that. You know, it's like, I have checkered floors now. Like, that's her personality for the season.
I know.
Like, I got a neon sign in my living room. And it's like, they're all copying other people's things.
You're never going to be Casey Musgraves,
Kyle. It was like, It was almost as bad as those snippets of biography that they give on Great British Bake Off. Like on Great British Bake Off,
I love
it's always like Gemma works at home and loves planting cacti. But like Kyle's like, okay, that's all I need. Hats. I love hats. When I was a kid, I loved wearing hats. My mom loved hats. And now I wear hats. Hats.
By the way, Great British Bake Off, I talked about it on the show last week. It's like my comfort. Like when like I get so upset about like women yelling at each other and it's like, you know, taking notes and stuff, that I'll watch the Great British Bake Off and it like just really soothes me and relaxes me. Cause even like the jokes are bad, but it's like all quiet. And it's like, it's just you can see the greenery.
Lisa loves playing saxophone with the family in front of the boardwalk with the window open.
Oh yeah, that family from last year. They played trombone. No, it was the German guy. What was his name with his eyebrows?
Like Hans or something, yeah.
Jens loves playing trombone with his family.
But Ryan, doesn't that also make you feel like the Real Housewives are real? Because I think people are always complaining like, yeah, oh my god, they're all so fake and they're this and that. No, they're not. It's very real. I mean, I know that some of the setups, you know, like you,
yeah, producer setups, yeah,
or whatever, I get that. But you know, you watch something like Bake Off, these are the nicest people ever, and everyone works for the NHS. You know, all they want to do is like give you medication,
yeah,
for free, and like make, you know, brownies while their son plays the saxophone out a window. They're nice people, but as you watch it, you start to see them simmer and become shitty people. Like you see what it does to you, and you're like, if that can do that to these people, then you know, we really need to respect our housewives more for what they give us.
Exactly. But see, that's why I love the Housewives, those too, is that like exactly what you said, is that the human brain can like kind of realize when something is real, and those little minute, like the minutia details, like Kyle with the hats or Sutton saying she's, you know, a part owner of two minor league baseball teams. That kind of minutia that comes out in conversation to me is very real because it's so specific, and it's something that I will just never, like I always think about Sutton owning a ballet company or like, so, you know, just like
being on the board of,
yes,
of
being on ABD, the board. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm on the board of a dance company and I own two minor league baseball teams. I say, which by the way, Sutton, where are you guys on Sutton? I feel like I'm proud of her for standing up to Erica. I thought she would have backed down this season, but I mean, I don't know if that's just her being ignorant and that pushes her away from fear. What is your guys' take on Sutton?
Listen, I am so proud of her that she has managed to, eke out yet another season where she's like, she's really, in many ways, she is like the biggest asshole, but somehow is like the hero. And like, if that balloons, I mean, that bubble's going to pop. Like she's going to have like, she's going to get dragged one season, but she's been a total asshole, but we're all like, well, it works for us. It makes me happy.
No, totally. That's what I'm saying. She said that horrific thing at the beginning of the season to Dorit about like, well, we all have problems when like the, you know, she had a robbery and she's
had
like,
true PTSD.
Yeah, I mean, but then, you know, just comparing to Erica and all of those other ladies, I don't know. And by the way, I don't know if you guys project in like future seasons or what you would like to see, but I think I'm okay at this point with like, I feel like I've seen Erica's journey. I don't think I need to see a comeback tour or her. She's obviously talks about all the sex she gets all the time, but we never even see a shadowy figure in a doorway. I think I'm kind of like, as much as she's done with talking about her legal stuff, I think I'm kind of done watching it as well. But would you guys want to continue to watch Erica in future seasons?
You know, I like so much of it for me is just recapping it. And I like imitating, like, I don't really imitate her well, but I love doing like a stupid character of Erica.
Yeah.
So I want it for that reason, you know, and the Sutton thing, I think Sutton, I think she kind of had a miss of a season because really what I love about Sutton is when she gets upset and goes off the rails about the dumbest things. Like when Lisa Rinna invited her makeup artist to the Lisa Rinna daughter party or whatever that was. And Sutton was like, how could you? Like she was like devil.
That is the best version of her.
Her eyes turned into cat eyes. You know how she, like they turned. And she, that's what I need. And this season, she almost got there, but then she kept backing down. Like that Dorit thing, that wasn't just like, oh, we all have problems. It was, I don't believe that you got robbed. You lying fucking fraud of a woman with your husband and all of your bullshit businesses. the Bellagio's coming to your house with baseball bats to take the shit that you owe them. And we all fucking know it, Dorit. And I think that that's what she was doing. But
PK's nobody... like, Punta Mita, that's where we escaped to. Punta Mita. I love that. Isn't it funny how PK, I mean, from when he's started to where he is now, how the fans have like really... I mean, in a lot of ways, turned for him. Like, I remember when I used to compare him to like a big stuffed baked potato with everything, and like he was annoying everybody. And then it's weird because I feel like as an audience, we sexualize everything and everyone. And then last season, all of a sudden, it was like, you know, all of a sudden I would like read online, like, I'd fuck PK. Like, what? Like, we go that far with everything. But PK at the end of the day, allegedly, is like a grifter. I mean, allegedly, in a lot of ways.
I mean, he's
like Applebee's.
Well, I just want to be nice in case PK's.
Listen, PK is like Applebee's, okay? So when he comes onto the scene, we're like, ugh, Applebee's. Like, I'm an adult now. I don't go to Applebee's. I live in a city. I don't need that, okay? I go to places that I read about on Eater LA. And I read about this place in the LA Times. And Jonathan Gold recommended this place. And then eventually you sort of say to yourself, you find yourself in the suburbs and you think, you know, I kind of miss Applebee's. And like, somehow you spend so much time being cool that you realize that that good old fashioned Bloomin' Onion, or those the Jack Daniels burger ain't so bad. But then you actually go and try it.
We all remember times at Applebee's. Like, we all remember good times at Applebee's.
No, I'll never shit talk any. Like, by the way, I'm like, I grew up in Kansas. I am purely middle class. Applebee's was considered a nice. I remember my friend's birthday party when I was like 11 years old. Patrick Mulcahy had his birthday lunch at Applebee's, and I was like, whoa, like, dude, he is loaded. Like, this is insane.
El Paso, Texas, there was a line out the door for weeks. Like, you were calling, like, trying to get reservations.
Yep. It's like seeing the queen in state, town. You know?
Yeah, my mom was like, these mozzarella sticks were frozen. And we're like, oh my God, she's such a foodie. Like, no shit, they're, you know, I still think of that. You know, like, by the way, mom, you sure got about that one.
I just want to clarify, I don't think that PK is a nostalgic favorite. It's more like sometimes you just get worn down by the pretty things that eventually you say, okay, just give me the Applebee's.
And those new chompers too, the new teeth, you know, amazing.
I think he's better than, like, I think he's worth it. I mean, I'm not a lover the guy, but I will say that he's funny. And he does give really good home scenes. And not many people on this show do. The home scenes, the singles, you know,
oh, he sells it.
The solo scenes are terrible. But PKs are always good because they're always like diabetes, like what number of diabetes do you have today? And PK like eating in the middle of the night. Like, I love that.
No, it's in my head all season, him saying Punta Mita. That's Punta, like the way he hit the line. Babe. I have like thought about it nonstop. Like, he hits lines, he attacks lines so well. And then that Phoenix, man, that's like when that Lady Gaga sings Shallow and A Star Is Born. I was like, she did one little scene, and then she did a little scene last week, you guys, where she was like, mommy, no soda, coffee. And I was like, give this woman a show. Like, this is just Dorit. Eventually is going to have to like get away from her because it's like she overpowers Dorit.
She really upstaged her brother. You know, I think that the saving grace for PK has been Mauricio, to be honest. I think that I think before PK and Mauricio became a thing, PK was just sort of like this strange guy on the sidelines who would insert himself and say gross comments. But then once he became like a little sidekick to Bert, to Mauricio, because the Ernie to his Bert, essentially, then it's like, oh, it's sort of cute. He sort of comes around like, hi, Mo. How's it going, Mo? And like seeing him in like the light of a sidekick as like the ugly sidekick to the handsome guy, not saying that Bert is necessarily more handsome than Ernie, but in this case, Bert is the handsome one. Then suddenly we sort of like can understand PK as like that person. And you're like, oh, okay, I get it. I understand his role.
Because PK never changed, right? His first storyline was looking up Erica's dress, like was seeing Erica's JJ. That was his first thing. And he was such a creep about it. He was a creep about it the entire season. Then again at the reunion. And then this season at the Homeless Not Toothless charity of all places, he's like, which one would you bang? I do Erica. It's like, oh my God, you still are awful. But
and then he gives Mo like as a thank you gift, like for like a, was it a Versace belt that looked like, I mean, just, I'm not like, I shop at Old Navy, but it looked horrific. And I was like, where is Mo gonna even wear this? Also, speaking of Mauricio though, I mean, now the head of the agency, but this guy seems to have all the time in the world. Like, I feel like we work our asses off doing what we do. This guy is like first one on the ski hill. He's able to go run errands for Kyle, go walk the dog. Doesn't like the agency, from what my understanding, is a really big, like, I'm assuming
nice that's to be boss, baby. Nice.
Yeah. You have the, cause you know, Farrah's there behind like a big stack, like all these stacks of papers. And you know, those British brothers from Million Dollar Listing, you know, they're still working at the agency. They really work there. So they're probably being like, Mo's out of town. We got to take care of all this. If we don't take care of all this, then everything's going to go wrong. We're going to go wrong. We're brothers and we're British.
I like the thought of Farrah as his Pandora. I think that's just a great pandy. Okay, so we're almost closing up. Like, but in terms of Beverly Hills, I just think it's like I'm ready for this season to be over. I think the Rinna thing is hysterical. This is a common thought all the time, but you know, you guys have seen this over the course of 10 years. Is it's all of a sudden not just the show anymore, but it's the show, and then all the like. Lisa Rinna had been complaining about Aspen since they filmed Aspen 7 months ago. So yeah. By the time we actually get to the actual show, it's just like it's like wah wah. Like, do you have any opinions
it was not wah-wah. It was the exact opposite, because we found out this is all because of a conga line. That's the exact opposite of wah-wah. That is a ha-ha.
Okay, wait. You're right. The conga line is the specificity that I was talking about. But in terms of Rinna going, you know, like Rinna just, you know, you had the Patrick Summers character. You had all these IG accounts like in DMs with like Lisa, like trying to plot again. It was wild. So there's this whole fucking hierarchy that's going on online that Bravo doesn't seem to be able to have any control over, because I just think it kind of dilutes the actual show. But maybe that's just me because I'm old and I'm like a fuddy-duddy. I just feel like there's got to be some reins put on these ladies where it's like have a little interaction online, but Rinna can't like get to the point where she's fighting everybody online and then say I need to block everybody, you know.
Well, yeah, she really did it to herself this year. And we were talking before about how like even Great British Baking Show people will go crazy from being on TV. Rinna has just lost her damn mind. I mean, this stuff that she has been trying to set up since the beginning of the season, again, it's not the first time she's done it. And to see it all come to this and it just be a big letdown, that's part of Beverly Hills, you know? If you're not feeling let down at the end of Beverly Hills, okay, they didn't do their job.
That's a great way to look. I never looked at it that way of like, it is by the end of the season, a disappointment. And
always,
I just, I pray to God, Andy doesn't try to do a 5-part reunion. I just like, nobody's trying to set records here. Like, let's just keep it at, I think a good 3. We just finished Real Housewives of Atlanta. I enjoyed the season. I thought it was like, okay, this is Housewives. There wasn't anything by the third part of the reunion. I was kind of like, I get it. What did you guys think of Atlanta this season? If you could sum it up.
I mean, I like enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I didn't think it was amazing. I was amused by it. You know, I think Marlo and Drew and Sheree bring like some very important delusion that these shows need. And I'm not even trying to be funny right now. Like, I think Real Housewives really thrive on delusional cast members. And Real Housewives of Atlanta hasn't had too much delusion. It's been more just like funny, shady, sassy women who are just like, they grill each other and they come at each other, but there's not a lot of delusion. So I think having someone like Drew, who is like actively trying to do a pyramid scheme for all of America, and like we all see it, is like hilarious. I think Marlo is hilarious. I think Sheree is hilarious. So I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, but it still is not amazing.
I mean, I thought it was a terrible season. I think they've had a few terrible seasons now in a row, and they've got to do something. I mean, it started off good. I was actually glad with the Drew stuff when it started, because, like you said, the delusion was so funny.
Dropping it with Drew, man. And I think I saw Drew get bigger during the season. I was like, this is wild. You know?
I mean, it started off great, and I really was like, this is going to be it. The season, it comes back. And I think the problem is Kenya, Candy, you know, all these people are bored. They're bored as hell. They look bored. They don't want to really invest in a real way, you know? And I think it shows. And that reunion was sad. It was a dull, terrible reunion. Yeah. And the fact that they don't have major meetings over there going, this reunion sucked. We heard the air conditioning hum in this reunion. That is how bad.
To keep cutting to the birds making noises. Yeah. I mean, it was that silent where they would make it like seem so silent that you could pick up the birds all of a sudden.
Yes.
I don't know if that was deliberate, but it was just, it was like, oh, okay. And then Marlo was trying to be on her best behavior by the second part of the reunion after she gave her speech. And I'm like, that's not Marlo.
Yeah, it's not what it is. And the fact that they're like, oh, the whole cast is coming back. I'm like, okay, you guys just don't fucking pay attention or you don't watch your show. And I get that they want to kind of keep what's good, but they need to be more fearless. Cause I think right now they're just like, well, okay, it was passable. So no, Atlanta's my favorite one. Atlanta is by far to me the funniest one they've ever had. And so to let it just go to mediocrity is boo.
Yeah,
boo.
I do think the season started off pretty strongly. And then when they went to New York, that New York trip sort of lacked, it sort of like killed the momentum. Yeah. And the season never really recouped from that, but I liked it more than I thought I would, but I agree. It was still not overall a very good season.
I did tear up. I mean, a second about the She Buy Charay thing at the very end, just because I'm a wussy like that. But then I saw the prices and I was like, oh, well, that's is classic Housewives of like, we've been like rooting you on and on and on. And all of a sudden, like an $8 piece of fabric, you're going to charge 230. You're not Kanye West. You're not like, I'm like, my God, like there's so much goodwill towards Charay in terms of this. And then to do what she did, I was like, how Housewives is this? This is so classic to take goodwill and just turn it against yourself.
I mean, so quickly too, right? Because she did that first. The site went down, then it comes back up, then the prices are insane, then people started posting where those clothes are really from. They're none of the ones that she designed. And then someone's online claiming he designed all those dresses that we saw. She never paid him, so they never put those into production. Then
you can buy a She Buy Charay notebook for the low, low cost of $30, a spiral notebook.
If she had just priced all that stuff relatively cheaply, everyone would have just bought one as like a joke for novelty. And she would have done so much in terms of volume. And then she could have started to raise those prices. But coming on high, like it's Lululemon, no. No, like, we saw the production process.
I believe in myself. I'm like, no, you don't. We know you don't believe in yourself. Also, don't try to act tough now and just like, okay. So Atlanta, obviously they made an announcement today. I don't know if that's true or not, that everybody is coming back, but who knows if that's true. Moving on to Southern Charm, which I thought was just, I mean, it still is just a mess of a show, like a mess of a show. But then I've weirdly really started enjoying watching it. And I don't know, I think I'm watching it because of the like it's so hypocritical on so many levels. Yeah. And then, but like the only thing I will say, it's like, you know, Leva, you can't, like, I've seen Leva do a whole one act play with her son. Like you can't,
yeah, it's getting old
by the end. Like on the season finale, is he going to make a souffle? Like, is it all lead up to something for this kid? Cause we've seen him bake now for 30 episodes in a row. Poor Vanita has to go to these things by herself and get shit on or not invited. And I don't feel like that's fair to Vanita. And then these men are just insane. They are each pointing, Craig's pointing out like Austin, you got to get over Madison. And then Craig, like if Naomi says like boo, he's like, you're not invited to my party. Like, what do you guys think about Southern Charm this season?
Yeah, Craig is really toxic. Someone actually wrote a comment on our House of the Dragon recap to bring it back to that, and basically said that Kristen Cole is essentially Craig. And I was like, oh, that is actually true. That is very true. But I mean, I have to admit, I really like Southern Charm. I like the season. I won't even say that I'm an apologist, because I've never been a Southern Charm apologist, but I actually enjoyed last season. I'm enjoying this season. It's Southern Charm has always been kind of like a messy, formless show. I think people forget that. They've only had one season that had like a really stirring through line, and that was the Ashley season, because you had like a really, really strong villain there, and you had like a protagonist in Catherine that season, so it felt like a really vibrant season. But if you look at every season, it kind of just sort of like flops around, and the guys do something awful, maybe the girls gang up on something, but usually they don't, but the girls are just like reacting to the guys being terrible. And I feel like this is not that different from it. So You know, I'm enjoying it. I like it. It's a nice end of the week treat for me.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Now is the part of the show where I get to talk about our sponsors. And today, So Bad It's Good is sponsored by our friends at BetterHelp. Now, I always talk about mental health on this show, and I've been lucky enough to talk about BetterHelp so many times, and it is a great company. A lot of the times I'll find myself stuck on focusing on problems or just negative thought patterns, and I will do nothing to try to fix it. I'll just be on a circular repeat of negativity, of the problem, of negativity, of the problem. And I never work or never even think about trying a different mindset. And it can be tough to train your brain to stay in problem-solving mode when faced with a challenge in life, which we are now faced with every day, especially when you get older. Doesn't it feel like that? Every day, every week, something new is thrown at you. But when you learn how to find your own solutions, there's no better feeling. So a therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or small. Now, I have a personal experience with BetterHelp. They do help me. I do have problems. They are good people to talk to that can actually point you in the right direction of problem-solving modes, of getting you out of repetitive negative thought cycles. And I know I'm not supposed to say negative things, but sometimes I can be a bit lazy, and it is really great because you do not even have to get in your car to go someplace to do this. You can do this online. You can work this around your schedule. What inspired me to go to therapy is I have a very negative, glass half empty kind of way of looking at the world, and I always have. But I also have this weird, like, great hope for everything and for people. And I don't understand sometimes why I have both of those feelings. And it was a problem that became something that I couldn't deal with by myself. And I got scared because if you look at, just normal insurance or normal therapy, if you don't have insurance, you can look up something like $500. $500 for an hour of therapy. I can't do that. But with BetterHelp, they are cost effective on top of everything else. You become more confident. You actually have tools that you can put in your toolkit that you can learn, so when things do go wrong, you don't feel like the world is falling. Sometimes you do, but then you learn to think the thoughts and breathe and do all of the things that help you get to a better headspace. So if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, which I think everybody should give it a try, I think this is the one thing where it's like, this should be like skippity-doo-dah. Like, everybody should be happy to get to go to therapy. Like, listen, you get to talk about yourself for like 50 minutes. And some people might not like that, but that's fine. Take your time. This is your time. These people are professionals. BetterHelp is a great option to start with. It's convenient, it's accessible, affordable, and entirely online, like I said. You can get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey and switch therapists at any time. Remember, this is not something that is just going to be fixed like that. This is not just a glove that's going to fit perfectly. You're going to need to participate in all of this. Your first therapist might not be the right therapist for you, and that's okay. Go to another therapist. Find out what works for you. But all you have to do is just take that first step. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/sobad today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, BetterHelp.com/sobad.
They need some... You know, it's good, and then it's terrible. Like, it's been really good. It came back, right? I feel like it came back, And then this last episode they had where they were all in St. James, and it just shows you all the cracks, you know. It can't just be about a bunch of bloated coke heads who are probably going to be broke in 2 months. You know what I mean?
That's the fun part. I'm tired of people making fun of me, like in front of Austin. And then whatever Austin was going through that week, Austin finally got some balls, even though he like laid like destruction on Summer. Like, I don't get Austin. Everybody's like, oh, Austin, he's standing up for Taylor and all that. Where was Austin when he was banging his way through Summer House, treating all those girls like shit? Like, where was the Austin talking to Austin during that? And now he's upset at Shep.
That's why he's doing it. He's just, Austin's just acting like that to get all the women nice to him in bars again, you know, so he can get laid. And it's obvious to everybody, and it's working.
He needs also to hook up at BravoCon, man.
Don't forget the timing of this. Okay, this is happening post Friendsgiving. So Winter House has kind of started to wrap up, and we've started to, like, by the end of Winter House is when Austin really, really started to go downhill, right? Like, because even, you know, even on Southern Charm before Winter House, like, there's a lot of eye rolling about Austin, like, he sucks, but like Winter House is really when his reputation started to get really in the shitter. So you got to imagine that maybe he's watched this on Winter House and he goes into this vacation being like, I got to change my reputation or whatever. So that's what we're seeing with him and Taylor. That is my theory.
And
that's
he what I was... does that by ruining Shep. You know, it's all a way to like, oh, Shep's, you know, and Shep is terrible. Like,
he's Shep is terrible. But it is funny. Like, Shep never. Like, it's like Shep is so stubborn that he'll almost admit that he's terrible, but he's like, but that's my right as a poet. Like, he thinks of himself as like Bukowski or something like that. Like, he always thinks like, I'm a Kerouac kind of figure, you know?
That is and such a like, good call.
He's like, Taylor, I told you I'm a piece of shit. Like, I dare, like, it's almost like he's daring her to break up with him, which I think is actually what ended up happening after the season. But it is funny because he's so sensitive at the same time, but I just love, he also just thinks of himself as a scholar. So he'll try to think of like these meta. He's like, it's like I'm in a video game machine and I can't get past the first level. And he's like trying to think of like, and Taylor's like, wow, what an example. What a cool guy. And then poor Whitney's 57 years old. Naomi even says this episode, hey, he needs to get his sleep. And do we even buy Naomi and Whitney? Like, we finally saw them kiss, but it seemed like that. Like Luke and Leia in Star Wars when they kiss and then you find out they're brother and sister down the line. Yeah. Like, it's so awkward.
It's weird, I don't believe that. But then again, like, I never believe Whitney hooking up with anyone, and then he does, and it's strange. I don't know.
I don't believe it. I think that Naomi, they're probably still friends, and she wanted to come back after her whole breakup, and he's the producer, and she's like, but I don't have a storyline. He's like, well, we can date. You know, like, what is
Whitney? And Miss Mitchell's like, okay, that's great. Yeah, and can we have a like wedding?
She's French. The spot and-
Well, in your normal lives, wouldn't you ever feel so embarrassed if you had to be like, tell a story to somebody and then be like, and I got so upset at them at the dog wedding or Friendsgiving? Like, it always, like, the thing that they got into a fight at, you have to say, and then it's like dog wedding. Like, it's ridiculous. Right.
You live in Los Angeles. Don't act like this is not part of our daily lives. All this crazy bullshit for crying out loud. Wedding. We've all been to this ridiculousness. Okay, don't act like it. Don't act like, oh, here in Los Angeles, people do normal things.
My ex used to throw themed dog birthday parties, and it would be at her office, and I would take off work to go to the themed dog because I love my dog, and it would be themed, and it would be so sad because she was the boss, and it would be all her employees like standing around with like cake, just going like, happy birthday to the dog, you know? Like, and it was, it's very...
So you just were projecting your experience with this dog birthday party.
Isn't that what we're all doing? Right? We're all projecting. Yeah.
Well, I actually do think we're all projecting, which is actually, I think, why I like Southern Charm. I think the whole Southern Charm, Winter House, Summer House thing, it works for me because it kind of gives the vibe of a group of friends, whether or not they're like real friends, it's a real circle. It like at least is giving that in a way that Vanderpump Rules has tried to pivot towards that doesn't work. Like, Vanderpump Rules is like so unbelievable when they try to do similar things and it's just like not quite the same vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I like Southern. I think what Southern Charm has going for it is it really does seem like a local show. And I think a lot of the shows look like, okay, we've watched all the Housewives, so we're just going to copy what they've done, but it's in a different setting. Whereas this one, they're literally like, let's just do coke all night on camera. And then, and then they'll just be like, hey, you know what? I don't want to go to work. And they just don't go. They just don't show up.
You know, and Craig's so proud of the man he is now. He's like, you know, to Naomi, he's like, I just think it's a sham because I think you would really like the guy I am now, like earlier in the season. And then he just shouts at her the rest of the season. But I remember Craig when he wouldn't even mail his law shit. Like,
you yeah, he was like a compulsive Craig liar.
Yeah, like that. And now he has a pillow store and a law firm or whatever. Like, he's multiple businesses. And what do you guys think of him with Paige? Have you liked the addition of Paige onto Southern Charm?
At first I'd liked them together. I don't think I have an inherent problem with them being a couple, but I have to say, I think that Southern Charm has started to ruin them because it's made Paige look kind of mean, and Craig is on his high horse, and yeah. I don't love that.
I'm anti-Paige now, and I used to love Paige, but I can't with Paige now. Like, starting with Summer House, she just looks like a vindictive, mean little cool girl. You know, I don't like her. And I think she used to be like, she's still gorgeous. Like, she still looks the same, but I used to think of her as like this gorgeous, fashionable, really smart, not going to take any shit from anybody, but also still like relatable to anybody, you know, not just the other cool girls. And I feel like now she's kind of losing that. And also, I don't believe for a second that if this was a TV, that she would be dating Craig. Not for one second.
Really? That's interesting.
I do believe
that's a long time ago.
I actually do believe it. Like, but I'm going to admit something that 2 days ago I unfollowed Paige with my personal Instagram. And the, And the reason
that's big for you. Well, I mean, that's like burning her house down for you.
Let me tell you something. Despite everything, I still really love Paige. Honestly, even though I do think this is like her mean girl, like, I'm not gonna say phase, but like right now she's in the mean girl moment. But I still really like her. But I was scrolling through my personal Instagram and like it was like another image of her in an outfit. And I was like, for some reason, I was like, does Paige follow me? And I looked, she follows Watch What Crappens. She follows Ronnie. She doesn't follow me. And the thing is this, though.
Not anymore, I bet. I'm just like, fuck Paige. Hey, let's get a parade called Fuck Paige.
but here's the thing, though. Last October, I went to a taping of Watch What Happens Live as just an audience member. And I went, and then Ariana from Vanderpump Rules, she was the guest. And so Ronnie and I are friends with Ariana. We're like legitimately friends with her. And so I went and hung out with Ariana after the show. And so after the show, we went up and we went to a bar, and Craig was there and Paige was there and Ciara was there. And...
was that the one when Austin was there too? Cause I remember texting with Ariana. I was like, do not hang out with Austin. And she's like, he's a nice guy. And I'm like, no,
I don't know if Austin was in town or not, but we were all at a bar. Paige was great. She was amazing. Yeah. She's like, oh my God, you guys are so funny. Like, when you guys make fun of my mom, that's like hilarious. She was great. Craig was super sweet and charming. So seeing them together in person, they had like natural chemistry. So that's why, you know, I didn't want to be like, I've seen them in person, so I believe it. But
yeah,
I felt it. And Paige was great. And so I think that's why when I saw, I was like, wait a second. Like, we've actually interacted in real life and we were like, we had a fun time. And then you're not following me, but I'm sitting here watching you with your outfits. And I was like, you know what? I think for my own,
you don't deserve to see my perfect crisp. You don't deserve to see my perfect food I make.
I have been a Paige supporter since the beginning, and I'm down to refollow her. But I felt like me feel kind of like shitty about not being followed by Paige, I decided I would just level the playing field.
Dude, I hope people don't do that with me. Like, well, he doesn't follow. I don't know.
I've had to stop paying attention because, well, I mean, then recently, sometimes I'll still fall into that of like, oh, I'll check out this Bravo Leb. And I found out recently two Bravo Lebs unfollowed me, I think, in the same week. And it was just so hurtful. It was like, but Leah McSweeney and.
Oh, your favorite.
I mean, at the time I had a crush on her.
At the time.
And Leah McSweeney and Captain Sandy both followed me. And I've got to tell you, like, Captain Sandy was like a follower from like 6 months ago. I don't even talk about Below Deck Med, even though I watch it. And thank God she didn't follow me 2 years ago when that Hannah shit went down. Cause I was just making really bad Captain Sandy memes. And maybe I don't think she scrolled through, but I mean, it really, I got to tell you, I still am not mature enough to separate my account from me where I'm like, I'm a good person. Why Leo? Why, what did I do?
Well, like, I will say there, I mean, sometimes Instagram does like cause unfollows. Like, and that's not like there was, speaking of Ariana, there was one time I looked down and said, look, like I wasn't following her. I was like, I definitely follow Ariana. So I followed her and I sent her a message. Like, I don't know what happened, but like, so that does happen. I think in this case, I think if it had been that Paige followed Watcher Crappens, but not me, I'd be like, okay, I get it. But she followed Watcher Crappens and Ronnie, but then not me. And I was like, so you made
what if this, what if Paige breaks you guys up? Paige totally breaks up.
No, it's not
a
jealousy thing. Know, it was like the intentionality that she's, you know, that I was like, okay, you know what?
Well,
I'm going to unfollow and then we can repair this. I don't think she cares to repair. She like literally.
No, I bet she actually does. I mean, so Southern Charm, but we already know Summer House is done filming for the season. They got rid of some like Luke and like I like Alex. I feel like everybody should get two seasons, even if Alex just eats protein. No, I don't care.
No, Alex.
No,
is,
come on.
No.
See, to me, that's not, so funny to watch somebody awkward. Like that is so like let him blossom.
Awkward, I agree. I could take, but just a meathead talking about protein, like get the fuck out of
he's
here.
He's kind of snotty.
I can see that anywhere. Get out.
He's snotty. He had one good moment, and that was during the reunion. And that was it. Seems very nice. Line,
Yeah. Well, so, but now we see Craig and I think our buddy Dave Quinn, who I really like, wrote, like he's writing People Magazine articles again. And he wrote, I think he was the author of the Craig Conover press release that he lost 20 pounds recently. And it was like, this was like a month and a half ago.
Craig lost 20 pounds or
Craig,
Dave lost,
Craig
20 pounds.
Lost 20 pounds.
Oh,
Craig.
You know what? Fuck my life. I'm not even going to try anymore.
No,
what's the point? What is Craig losing 20 pounds for? What's that look like on Craig?
Well, Ronnie, if you read the article, he felt ashamed. He couldn't take his shirt off anymore and he felt ashamed and he worked hard. He still drinks. But he works hard, and now he says he's once again comfortable to take his shirt off again. And then I saw a picture of like him at the Summer House with his shirt off, and you could just tell. And you know, and it's like, you know, it's Craig with the shirt off. But it's like, I just thought that was funny that for him, this was something that I need to press release a 20-pound weight loss for Craig. Which, by the way, he still looks good. 20 pounds less.
Why are you doing this to us, Ryan? Why are you doing this to us?
Know,
why are you making
guys
us feel
obsessed over this stuff? Right?
I obsess over this stuff. I need to lose. I need like 60 pounds during quarantine.
No. Like, the thing is this, because the one thing we feel like we have over Craig is some kind of discipline, and now that's gone.
But you know it's not going to last. And by the way, when you guys have discipline, you don't PR it to People Magazine. Of like Ronnie and Ben, they get their podcasts out on time. You know, like,
I will once I have discipline for my body, for sure.
Well, speaking of, it'll never happen. One thing that I love are the previews for this week's Southern Charm. That Leva got out of her kitchen and stopped leaving events and calls Craig out on like, here's all the real people who run your businesses.
And then Craig is like, you know what? You can get out or I'll have security take you out. Like Craig really does not mind like throwing down like forceful insults towards women of like, I'll have you removed.
Exactly.
Like, that's wild.
Well, that's Craig. That's why I'm saying Paige would not be dating Craig, because all that Paige goes on about how the men treat the women on that show, which is why I like her. It's like, she's finally standing up to these douchebag men, but then she's with Craig who treats women. And I'm not saying the Leva thing specifically, but just how he goes at people.
Wouldn't Paige be embarrassed that like, oh, dude, my current boyfriend is obsessed with his ex. Like she can't say one thing without him freaking out. I mean, like I would think that would kind of upset me of like, why do you care still?
Yeah.
I mean, but it's like Austin with Madison. Like you bring that name up. Like what did these women do to these men that they are like the most sensitive? And I've been there, I guess, but like, it's just wild over there in Charleston. It's like they all encourage the men to be insane about their behavior towards women.
And then, it's like you see the whole season, he's been lying to Paige and saying Naomi's obsessed and all this, which is not true. He banged Naomi in Vegas. Then he said, let's be friends. Then tried to be friends and be like, can't we at least go to coffee? And Paige said,
he banged her two times. He banged her once when they got back from Vegas too.
Oh, yeah. So then he's like, well, can't we just go to coffee? And she's like, no, Craig, that is like literally insane for women. So he's like, okay. So then he shows up and just starts yelling at Naomi and calling her a stalker and all this. And that Paige sees this and sees that she was totally lied to. And he's obviously still obsessed that she's still dating Craig. I'm like, I don't buy that. I just don't buy it. That's not the page I saw.
I get upset because he has like a really nice podcasting setup. Like you always see like the mic hanging down. Yeah. I'm like, fuck you, Craig. Just make your pillows. Let us have like a podcasting setup. Like that's ridiculous. I have a couple more minutes with you guys. Are you doing BravoCon?
We're not going. No. Are you?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh my God. Cool. Good for you.
But not in an official capacity.
You're just going to go as me, as a fan,
but
well, that's going to be so fun.
Well, yeah. Like I don't tour or anything. So like, I want to meet people that like, listen, yeah. Say, like there's going to be a lot of those people. So I'm excited in that. I'm nervous though. Cause like Craig's blocked me. Like there's like, I'm nervous.
Craig blocked you.
Yeah. I think it was because I did like those law photos he took where he's like, And you know, like he has a whole website like Conover and Company or whatever. And I said, you know, I use that image and I'm like, there's only one man that can represent Erica Jane. And like, I think that upset him. And
I did that too.
Yeah. And then Paige blocked me.
Oh my
Well, because I said, I did like a super cut of all the time she lays down. And I said, Paige does her best work on like, you know, and it wasn't a sexual thing. It was like literally everything happens for Paige. Like, every scene happens in bed. And then I had pointed out that her and Craig, even their scenes at the beginning of Southern Charm, were in bed. I mean, it was not them hooking up. It was just them laying there. And I just thought, what an interesting thing is like Paige really excels at that. So I can understand all of it, but I'm not, but you guys,
we're assholes. Like it's well, so you... funny. And I tell Ben this when we have these talks, like we're such jerks. And the fact that we sit here like, oh, my feelings.
I know, dude, week in, week out, we make fun of these people for doing the small things. Look at the way that Paige held that dandelion.
I'm the biggest pussy ever, dude. Like, I still live in fear of Jax Taylor.
Rinna unfollowed me last year, two years ago. And it's because I messaged her and I was like, oh my God, look at the masks we made. Cause it was when COVID started. And so we were making masks, you know, and I was like, look at these masks we made. And it's Rinna lips. And they like, you put on the mask and then the lips are like out to here. And I thought she would like them because they, yes. I mean, that's her thing, lips. And then she unfollowed me.
Well, like, because you didn't cut her in. She wants 50%. She's like, those are my jacked up lips, you know?
But I was thinking later, who does that? Like, why would you send that to somebody? Like, here's an insane,
yeah,
you know, your lips are covering your, like, why wouldn't that hurt someone's feelings?
We
know?
Push they're it really so mean. Much and we're oh, always man. So surprised when people are upset. We're always like, I can't believe she wouldn't follow me after I make fun of her every week.
I should have no expectation of any of these people.
I know, but we ridiculous. But you know why, way, you know I, why I I'll tell you why
hi you want to go to
I'll tell you why, because we live in this very strange space where we are both critics and fans at the same time. And so like the critic part of me, like the quote unquote critic, like that sounds too elevated, but like as a podcaster, you know, we make fun, because we're reacting to what we see on screen. We're reacting the way any audience member does. And then we like to say how we felt watching it. But at the same time, we're also fans. And like those two things don't always sit well together. And in our minds, I think we're really good about compartmentalizing. Like, I'm in podcast mode now. So I'm going to say blah, 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 blah. And then like, now I'm in fan mode. Oh my God, I want to get a picture with this person. And we understand it because we understand which mode our brains are in at any given moment. But if you're on the receiving end of it, you just see it as like just ultimate fakery, I guess. And it's like why would you take the time to understand that?
You're so right. Like last night I was talking about Southern Charm for the show and I was like going in on Shep and Austin, but at the same time, I would have a drink with Shep. I would love it. I would have like I'm not looking to sleep with Shep. I would have a drink with him and like talk about, I would love to hear him bro talk, you know, like that would be fascinating to me. But yeah, I have no reason to feel bad about any of these things yet. I still do. Winterhouse, by the way, the trailer looked amazing. Salt Lake and Potomac come out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm insanely excited about both. Are you guys looking forward to recapping those?
Oh, 100%. Salt Lake is like one of my, now that Roni is like nowhere to be found, Salt Lake, I think might be my favorite one to recap these days. I think like the variety of impersonations that we can do on that, like, that's like one of my favorites. I'm super excited about that. And Potomac also we have a lot of impersonations, but I mean, and both shows also are really good. Those are people, those are casts that understand, quote unquote, the assignment, that know that their job is to interact with each other and say what's on their mind and not protect anything. They just have to, like, they just lay it all out there, and they do a great, great, great job. Those are two wonderful shows.
I know me and Ronnie saw the Salt Lake already. You have it, but you haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it yet.
I got to tell you, it was just really not, like, it was like after what, like being where I am with Beverly Hills and Southern Charm to watch Salt Lake, I just felt a nice breath of fresh air. But it's also just insane because I think it'll be out by the time you guys listen to this, is that it's the main conceit is that the fight really is between Meredith and Lisa, and Jen, once again, I feel kind of escapes. And it's from the first episode, it's more of a, not pity for Jen, but there is a, you know, Jen is still a hero in the show. Like, she's, you know, did you get the sense in the first episode,
they've
Ronnie,
decided that Jen is not guilty and she's going to be found innocent. And this whole season, they started shooting this season pretty close to when they ended the last one. Like, they didn't stop because they wanted.
Oh, they knew. They knew she was going to jail. Yeah.
So the bitterness is not had any time to relax. Like, they are still pissed about the reunion. So it just starts right where it left off, and they're pissed. And Jen is still pretending she's just innocent, like giving a speech at a party, like, you guys, this might be the last time I can have a birthday with my husband, and we can be together. I'm like, hopefully, you fucking trash. I can't believe
it. And Coach has a talking head where he goes, I tear up when I think about my wife not being with me. And it's like tears of joy. Like, this guy looks like he's been put. I mean, he comes in the first scene. He's like, long day, babe, long day. Could you make me some tea or coffee? And she's like, of course, babe. And like, he just looks beaten down, which I'm sure any of this would do. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying,
not only from the crimes, but from the moving. I mean, this is like their fourth rental in 3 years. Like, give the guy a break.
I always like when they move to a different rental and it's still better than anywhere I've ever lived. And they're like, we're downsizing. And I'm like, when are you going to downsize to where I am? You know,
yeah, this downsizing is not fair. She's like, look at my sad little house. It's a mansion. It's still a mansion.
But I think that's Salt Lake City, you know, like Salt Lake and Potomac. What works so well about them is that they've got a deep roster. They've got Salt Lake has such a deep roster, a deep, rich roster, that they could have someone who is like possibly going away for 30 years. And like, that's not their A story. And that's what it was last season. Yes. Too. Like last season, it was like, that was like part of the mix, but there were still so many other crazy things going on. How does this
Jen's
happen?
A marketing genius, Jen, because I said last season, I said, what an idiot that for her to go back on and film this season, what an idiot. And then by the end of the season, I was like, wow, she escaped. Like, I mean, it made Beverly Hills look like those ladies were interrogating Erica compared to what Jen Shaw got. And I was like, she looks good. Jen Shaw actually ended up this season looking good, which was shocking. I'm curious where this season three takes us, because we do know she eventually completely changes her plea, which will be kind of exciting. And the way you say about the roster, I feel like Potomac right now is like their roster. I don't watch a lot of sports, but I watched that The Last Dance, that Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls sports documentary during the pandemic. Yeah. And that's what I feel like they're the fucking Bulls, man. They got Scottie Pippen. They got Michael Jordan. They got all these, like you could throw it to any of those ladies. And I'm not even the biggest fan of Giselle, but I love what Giselle does. Like, I'm like, I love her talking heads. I love her relationship with Robin. I don't know. You guys, I love you guys so much. I wish I could talk to you forever. And that's why I think you're so popular, because everybody wants to listen and talk to you guys forever. Watch What Crappens, of course, is the show. WatchWhatCrappens.com is where you go for all of it. Their Patreon is the Patreon of all Patreons. Are you going to be like the Dead and Company, the Grateful Dead offshoot with John Mayer just announced they're doing their final tour this next summer of 2023. Are you going to keep going like the Dead? Will you eventually call it quits? What is the master plan when you guys think about touring? Are you gearing up again for Crappens 23? What, can you give us any hints?
Hell yeah.
I'll be making fun of people till I die.
That's
some advertising dollars for it.
Crappens 2023 is 100%.
This is sponsored by Xfinity Mobile, you guys.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll take it.
We can't announce anything yet.
They cancel my ass, and that could be any day.
But so. But what I'm saying is the Watch What Crappens is healthy and happy, and it will be continuing yes. on for seasons and seasons to come, because I truly, it would be like Howard Stern when he leaves the airwaves eventually, even though I disagreed with some of his earlier stuff. I just loved him, you know, or when like David Letterman left, or Oprah, or any, you know, like it would just really break my heart and everybody. So thank you for doing this
we're
today.
Fine. We're okay.
Ben,
I'm so,
Ben
okay.
Ronnie said you were sick a couple months ago. I just want to make sure you're okay, man.
COVID, yeah, but I am okay. Thank you. But and thank you, by the way, so much for filling in that day, because dude, I would have been like, oh, you know.
It's so horrible that I was like, oh my God, my prayers for Ben or Ronnie to get sick have finally come true. And they've finally gotten me. You guys know my audience. I was so nervous. I was like, I was like taking notes like the wind.
That
and it was just
hilarious. That was like 2 hours and something.
Oh, I kept him. Long. Oh, dude, Ben, I kept him going. Ronnie was like, stop.
That's what I'm always
like, no, let's do a
I'm
bit.
Always trying to do it. That's that. Welcome to my world. I'm always throwing bits at Ronnie until he finally relents.
Well, you guys have started it all. Ryan. You gave me a passion
Thanks,
for this.
Ryan.
And thank you. I'll talk to you guys hopefully in another year or so. But if anybody ever gets sick again, I'm available.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
We love you, Ryan.
Bye, Ryan.
Bye.
Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.